This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world, talking with fellow human design reflectors as they experiment and navigate their unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Mel. Mel's a 3-5 reflector and also the co-founder of Conscious City Guide, a conscious community-driven platform that offers conscious events, retreats, workshops, experiences, and so much more. I am really looking forward to chatting with you, and I'm not going to go into this too much because I want to also be surprised to hear this story of you, Mel. So welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So I'm excited being here.
And what we do is if we want, I want to go back. I want to hear it all. I want to sample and absorb this beautiful story. Well, could not always beautiful. How did you land here? How did you find that you're a reflector? How did human design find you, or you find human design?
So I had already been on my kind of self-exploration and personal development and spiritual journey for quite some time. And in that journey, at the time I was practicing the manifestation formula of Lacey Phillips from To Be Magnetic. And she is also a great friend of mine. And it was either her birthday or my birthday. I can't remember. But we had met up for lunch and she was very excited, telling me all about this new system that she had been delving into and researching, and that was human design. And I remember sitting there at lunch and she said, well, we've got to look up what your chart is now. And she looked it up and she looked at me and she was just like, oh, you're a reflector. And I was like, what does that even mean? So that shot me on my journey, but it was with Lacey that I found out.
Wow. Wow. Now I also went poking a little bit because I wanted to learn about you. And I know that it was about 8 years ago when you had a Vedic astrology reading done too. Is that correct?
Wow.
So you've gone down this little path.
Wow. What? You went deep. I don't even remember where I found that, but where I shared that. Sorry. But yes, I have been doing Vedic astrology readings with our family kind of practitioner for quite some time now. And actually, it would be more than 8 years because the first blog I started was called The Bharani Effect. And Bharani is a nakshatra in Vedic astrology. And that blog doesn't even exist anymore, and that was way before Conscious City Guide's inception. So yes, I'm very into the mystery of life.
So how did that feel? Like, you know, that most of us, you know, what does this mean when, you know, someone indoctrinates us into the cult? It's like, what does this mean? But how did that feel for you? Did you start going down that little rabbit hole yourself of going, I need to know what this means?
Yeah. And I think with any new modality that comes onto my path, I definitely dip my toes into it. But with human design, because I find the information of human design very accessible, more so than Vedic, because, you know, and sidereal astrology and all those things that I'm fascinated in and love. But I think human design is just so much more easier to grasp and translate the information. I mean, I wish I could go deep into Vedic and all the other things, but I either don't have the attention span or the years of study, which not to say that human design doesn't also take years of study, but I guess the information is more easily accessible at the beginner's level, which is where I am. Yeah.
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 Now, finding this out, this is this beautiful story that I love to kind of, like, you know, pull out from people. it's this moment where you're looking at these and you're going, oh my gosh, I can really identify with being a reflector. And then you go back and forth in this timeline of your life and go, oh shit, it all makes sense. Can you share some of that with us?
Yeah, the biggest moment of that realization was very early on when I was reading about the energy type of a reflector, and that essentially we can be placed in any group or community, and obviously reflect back what's going on in each situation. But from a very young age, I have always been called a chameleon. So that's one of those track back moments. I was like, oh my God, that's really true. And when I stack up that term chameleon against all these other, you know, personality types or even my astrology, it doesn't really fit in. But with human design and being a reflector in the chameleon thing, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. But I'm a Taurus in Western astrology and, you know, not really a chameleon.
You're also a 3-5.
That was the biggest track back for me, that I was like, wow, yeah.
And that third line of yours, you know, you've got to experience life. Have you experienced life, Mel? Have you taken life by the horns and literally experienced it?
Yeah, I would say that journey more so consciously started from the age of 20, probably. And now knowing more about the 3 and the 5, it's super fun experimenting with and using that in my power. Whereas before, it was probably so unconscious, you know, way of doing life, which is what I love about human design, is when you really start to understand how your energy works, you get to experiment and then see the physical outcomes of how it really works. Even though for us as reflectors, you know, one of the biggest things that I am working on is patience. But I think going hand in hand with the patience is actually just getting out there and putting myself into the environments that I feel really good in order to attract experiences, opportunities, whatever alignments, quicker,
yeah,
I would say, or with more ease. And for me personally, that piece is what goes in hand, because whenever I'm feeling like things aren't moving as fast as I want, one, it's the patience factor, but two, it's like, okay, well then just go, you know, go somewhere where you want to feel really great, and see what happens then.
Yeah. And where is that space for you? Like what makes Mel happy? Like what environment makes you happy?
Definitely. Well, here's the struggle with that patience factor is home. Phil, home is my favorite place. So going out is a challenge, but I would say nature. So home, being surrounded in nature, that's my primary good feeling environments. And then also with certain groups of people. And then actually what I've started to practice as well is in my journaling, just noting down the environments that I did feel good in during the day. And then if I am feeling in a rut, I'll just go back on those journals pages and look at what environments I can access.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
I love how we kind of just sometimes know what we need ourselves. No one needs to tell us, especially a third line. Can't tell you. You got to do it yourself.
We've got to do it ourselves. Yeah. So the journaling helps with that, just as a reminder, because it's very easy for me to sit at home and be on the computer and work away. But as we know from being a reflector, that's not necessarily the most aligned way for us to draw things to us. Yeah. So maybe if I took my computer and went, you know, somewhere else.
I'm glad you're speaking into this because, you know, there's always synchronicities with us. But it was just over the last few weeks I've been having this real like drop into my awareness of exactly that. It's really nice. I'm the same. I've got a Taurus ascending. I know what it's like to be in my little environment. But I had to go out and I had to get on public transport. I had to take a train down into the city.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden I was sitting there and I could be this true observer. And it was like the ideas started flowing again, Mel. And I'm like, fuck, I have missed this, you know, because since the lockdowns and all that kind of shit around the world, it's like a lot of us have retreated more into our homes. So I'm really glad you say that, because it is like we can get out there and have these divine inspirations of thought or.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's a piece of my work in this lifetime. And I don't know if that is coupled with the, you know, Western astrology Taurus thing of being very comfy at home, but it's like, no, come on. Like, if you really want to experiment with your design, let's try the environment thing, because that's like our number one.
Yeah.
You know, our number one thing that we should work with.
You're also saying back there before, you know, that the patience thing, and because this is a theme, we can get really impatient because we've been pressured a lot of our lives to kind of like be in this generator world.
Yes.
But I also wonder if it's our impatience is because we've already experienced it in our body and it's like we've got to wait for everything else to catch up.
Catch up. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. I love talking to another reflector. Okay. So I love that and I completely agree. And without coming across from an ego perspective, that is what I truly believe is what's going on with Conscious City Guide. So, you know, my co-founder Kiki and I started Conscious City Guide 7 years ago now. And even 7 years ago is like crazy for consciousness, conscious events, positioned in a mainstream way. Of course, it's been going on for centuries, but to like, it was on the fringe before, right? And our whole mission is to mainstream conscious culture. And so I truly believe that if we keep serving the evolution of the conscious collective, then the conscious collective is going to catch up and go, oh, well, there's that events platform, Conscious City Guide, that I can check out. And it has all these incredible experiences for me to tap into in any which way that I want to experience consciousness. So I believe exactly what you just said, that we have felt it. And I'm waiting for the conscious collective to catch up. And, you know, there's lots of examples of that, especially recently, and how fast energy is changing planetarily. Is just think about some of the conversations that we're now able to have with even our parents' generation or our grandparents' generation, where there's stuff that they just would have never talked about at the dinner table before because the conscious collective was not ready to have those conversations, nor did they have the language to be able to express lovingly, you know, where we're at, you know. So, yeah,
Absolutely. We're just even talking about this yesterday, of saying, you know, you can walk into a social, not that I am, but you can, using it as an example, walk into just a social situation now and someone say, well, what do you do? What do you do for work, or for, oh, I'm a tarot card reader. You know? And it's like totally okay to say that now, opposed to, you know, even 10 or 15 years ago, you would have been like, burn her at the stake. So
No,
I love
exactly. And
this.
that's obviously in like major modern cities. Which to that point, you know, sometimes I do get the feeling of, you know, when I'm traveling, or, you know, I recently went on a trip to Egypt in November, and, you know, it's a very densely populated city. So comes with that a lot of trash, and, you know, in the rivers, and it's just so sad to see. And it just makes you go, well, what am I doing, you know, making this dumb platform? You know, it's like I could be out there actually picking up trash. But yeah, I digress. It's
No,
just,
that's how it works.
yeah.
It always just flows here. Oh, I want to come back, because we were saying there before, you know, about this, these drop-ins to us, or that's my wording, not yours, but this conscious awarenessness that we have. It's many points in your life, you've clearly had these divine moments, and that's what you've birthed, you've brought through this. Share with me, if you may, how you birthed these ideas, because you made it happen. A lot of people have the idea, but they don't make it happen.
Yeah, thanks. And I do believe that, you know, they aren't my ideas, but I am the physical conduit to make them happen. And the how really stems, well, the conscious awareness of the how is, I would say, a huge part that's helped me do that is my tea ceremony practice. And so creating this space every morning, and there's only a handful of mornings that I can remember in the last 8 years where I haven't sat for tea ceremony, is, and this is just, even now, 8 years into doing tea ceremony, almost every morning, it's even more important to me now that I understand my energetics as a reflector, is it creating that space gives me the chance to fully drop in with source and myself and sweep away anything else that I had picked up in my dreams or the day prior, and be a clear vessel and channel to receive those drop-ins that you say. So I think I'm really blessed that tea ceremony came into my life when I did and allowed me as a reflector to create that space. And obviously, it's a practice that could benefit everyone, not just reflectors. But I think once you understand your energy type, it can benefit you in different ways. And for reflectors, I think it's clearing that channel so that you can receive the drop-ins.
I love that, Mel. That is just, that gives me just goosies. Dedicating that time to yourself and what works for you, just the cleansing and the clearing, and allowing yourself to open. Because in this world, sometimes we can be a bit closed off, can't we? So it's literally like I got these visuals in my mind of just your heart expanding outward to receive more awareness of what's going on. And even before you were saying this, you didn't feel that Conscious City Guide was your idea. It's a collective idea, and I truly believe that for reflectors, it's just like we are the antennas of the world, and this is divine stuff. So I thank you for that, because that's a gift in itself, to take the time to do whatever practice it is, but honoring us and honoring, because we get awash with a lot of thoughts, don't we, during the day, and energetics stick to, or not stick, but. So
Yeah, they
it's.
can. Yeah, I mean, and even if it's got, you know, I feel the same sometimes when I go for a walk by myself with no podcast or music. Oh my God, driving with no music is the best thing ever. So you don't need like a meditation or a spiritual practice, but in some, but you could also call driving by yourself with no music on a spiritual practice, right? So it's just creating those spaces for you to be with yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you always been a spiritual person? Have you always, I've seen your chart, so I know that there's something there, but you have you always had that tap in with source in some way or another?
No. Not consciously, I would say, but definitely when I started becoming aware of, I would say, quote unquote, coincidences would start appearing in my life. And when I was aware enough to like see those things, I'd be like, well, that's weird. It has to be something more than a coincidence. Like, don't believe in coincidences anymore, right? So I guess that at a very foundational level started to breed some curiosity. And in my teenage life, you know, I was definitely into all the witchy stuff. So I don't know if you call that. Yeah, there was definitely curiosities.
It's when all those movies started coming out, didn't they? Like The Craft and all that.
The Craft, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Charmed was on TV. We're all addicted.
It's like, can I levitate?
Well, maybe.
Light is a feather.
Is there any other practices that, you know, since finding out you're a reflector, you know, you get thrown with this whole way to lunar cycle and
yeah,
you can understand it all from a intellectual level, but are there other practices that you apply to your life of the reflector Bible?
Yeah. So the, I guess personal mantras, that I just repeat to myself in my head are really helpful, especially, you know, if we're thinking about that wait a lunar cycle situation. I just try to go out into the world and experience everything as if the universe is talking to me.
I love that.
And that's a pretty practical practice for a reflector.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's the universe literally is talking to us. And I joke about this because I have an affinity with hawks and animals and you know, different types of birds. And when I'm sharing with people the signs that I receive or the way that the universe speaks to me, I sometimes say, well, I do love when I say, oh, the red tail hawk like circles around me, then it's like a yes or a no or whatever. But no, for a reflector, it's so much more direct than that.
Yeah.
It's literally a car driving past with the number plate, a personalized number plate that has the exact word that you need to see on it.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, so many different universal examples. One other one that I'll share that I love that happened recently is we have this amazing new advisor that had come on board to Conscious City Guide. And before he came on board, I did not know him from a bar of soap, but we kept referencing his company in the build of the new website that we relaunched last year. And we kept referencing their website, and, you know, then our new site launched, and lo and behold, you know, a few months after that, I organically meet the co-founder of that company, and he's now one of the advisors on Conscious City Guide. So if that ain't a message from the universe to keep doing what I'm doing, I don't know what is.
It's like subtle as a sledgehammer. Once you start paying attention, it's just that's what everyone says to me. You know, your awareness is subtle as a sledgehammer because sometimes it's right in my face. It's like, oh.
Yeah. So we just have to be aware of that. And I mean, here's a personal example. I was recently at a friend's birthday party, and you know, it's a birthday party, so there's several conversations, several groups. I walk to join one specific group in the middle of a conversation, and the girl talking I hadn't met yet, and she was sharing about this new guy that she had started dating, and she was obviously really excited, and you could tell she had like a crush on this guy. And as she spoke more and more about this guy, I was trying to contain my giggles and laughter so much, because one, I didn't want to break this girl's heart because I hadn't even properly met her yet, but two, it's just the dialogue and the surprise and delight that I received, because this guy that she had just started dating, I had recently gone out on two dates with, and I was interested in getting to know him more. And it was like the universe is my best girlfriend. And she was like, yeah, not that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had walked into that conversation 5 minutes later, they wouldn't have even been talking about that anymore. Or I could have chosen to join any other conversation that was happening at the party. Why did I walk into that conversation at that exact time for the universe to tell me, don't worry about that guy?
Yeah, I love that that you could actually like giggle through it, because you were so aware of what was happening that you could literally like giggle through it, you know, whereas other people, they might be like, oh my God, you know, and it's a shock. Whereas for you, it was delight. You were just like, my God, name it to claim it, kind of like, yep, there you go again.
It was utter delight. And, you know, I had that situation happen to me 18 months ago, maybe I would have been disappointed or bummed or like, oh, I kind of liked that guy. But no, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, does this happen to anyone else? Like, I was so excited.
I can imagine as you're going through this and learning, you're a reflector. I know I use my, you know, the spidey senses of just kind of like walking through the world sometimes, and I'll take that inner journey and just explore, as you were saying before, just experiencing life through this lens of going, I'm not taking anything personally. I'm just watching and exploring what happens around me. And then things just start happening, because I'm like, it's like true surrender in a way, isn't it?
Right.
Like true surrender to the world of just going, use me, pivot me,
yeah,
surprise and delight me, baby.
Yeah. And that's not easy to do. And so, I go in and out of that, and, you know, but when I am in it, it is really fun.
Yeah. I like also that you just said that it's not easy to do. I feel that into my core. It's very hard to surprise me. People rarely surprise me. Mm. So when they do, they're the ones I just go, oh, come here a little closer. because we feel things. It's already kind of like we've already sampled what's happening with them.
Yes.
Talk to me about how your life is looking, running this company. Like, how does that feel for you as a reflector? Like, because what I love about the more reflectors I get to know is the amazing things that you're all doing. It's so inspirational. Are you around any other reflectors in your life?
And it's so vast. I feel like reflectors really, you can just put us into any, you know, situation and we can go with it. But what we've got to be careful of is how fast we run and, you know, where that burn could happen, which I think, you know, looking back, had I stayed in the music industry, which I was doing before this, had I stayed in there much longer, I definitely would have experienced that kind of burnout because I wasn't giving myself that reflective space at the time.
Was that one of those pivot moments where life literally pivoted you out of that?
Completely. Yeah. It was, that was very unexpected. I love music. I loved my job. I love the music industry. I love being surrounded by creative people. So yeah, had you ever asked me if I was going to quit the music industry? Absolutely not. But running Conscious City Guide, I see it in a few different perspectives. One, there's the perspective of me really serving a community. And so from what we call the seeker community aspect, which is our audience, right? The people coming to Conscious City Guide looking for these events. That to me feels like, well, I've created this meeting ground really for people to just come and meet us all in. So because we don't produce every event on the platform, it's community powered, so anyone can put their event on there. So really I just feel more like a orchestrator of a meeting point.
Yep. You are the true observer, the true observer in your community. Oh yeah. God. Yeah.
And see, that was, so I'd already started Conscious City Guide before I even knew what a reflector was. So that was one of those things that you were asking about before. When I started learning about my human design, I was like, oh my God, like, look at what I've created with Conscious City Guide. That seems like total reflector-ish.
Reflectorisms.
But then from a, I guess from a operational business level, from that perspective, what I have realized over the last few years of being an entrepreneur, leading and experimenting by living from her design, is I thrive and do really well where I have a team that can support and roll out the plan. And I have the, you know, galactic view vision of how everything can run. And I know all the action points that we need to activate, but I'm not the person to activate them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the person to activate them, but to press the green button, but then I have a team to like roll it out. Does that make sense?
Total sense. It's like this, you are living the best life ever because of that. It sounds to me you're being supported. You're able to channel in the information, activate it, and allow other people to do what they have to do.
Yes.
While you can be the true you. I love this. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, that's my dream scenario. And I got to taste a bit of that in 2019, where our team grew significantly. And then our team reduced again during the pandemic, and we haven't quite rehired to the point where I got that taste before. So that's something that I'm really calling in now and doing all my design stuff to realign those things. But I was saying to Kiki, my co-founder, the other day, is like, and something that I kind of want to dig into a little bit, because I don't necessarily believe in just waiting. I believe in aligned action. So what I want to dig into right now for myself personally is like, what is the aligned action that I can take to call those things back in, you know? Yeah. It's not me rolling out, you know, the daily social media plan, probably, you know?
Yeah.
It's me envisioning what that social media plan might look like.
Yeah, yeah. And how it can reach new places and people and experiences. Yeah.
Yeah. So concentrate, and but that's very hard to do because, like, well, it's easy to do from a creative perspective, but it's hard to do from an operational 3D perspective when the company would really benefit from like more consistent social media, as an example. But that's the dance of, you know, waiting for the right thing to come through at the right time.
And we always know when we look back in hindsight, don't we, that everything happens at the right time, the right. It's frustrating though when you can kind of have a vision and you just got to go, okay, I've got to, as you were saying earlier, we got to wait for things to catch up to us. Is your and team, do you know your, sorry?
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you know your team's human design? Have you indoctrinated everybody?
Yep. Yeah, and when we had a larger team, we actually had a human design consultant come in on one of our team day retreats, and she specializes in human design for teams.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was just so great. And yeah, so I love sharing human design information at a business level for the businesses that are ready to operate in that way, because it's so different from operating in a normal construct. But what I was going to say before about, and in that waiting period is where I feel like for me, I have to, instead of, you know, sitting at home waiting, is go out and put myself in the environments and enjoy and experience life. So when you reframe it in that way, we're not really waiting.
No.
But that's what we have to remember, is like, okay, if we ever feel like we're waiting, where can I go? What can I do? Who can I hang out with that makes me feel good? Because who knows, when I put myself in those experiences, what is going to happen?
That's right. Because you're getting that feedback from the world, opposed to being, and I love that. I absolutely love that. I can see that. It's just a constant merry-go-round in a way, isn't it? Instead of just sitting stagnant, you're actually, I love that.
Because that's what we're here to do, right? We're here to experience, observe, reflect back. So we have to go out into the world and to do all those things. So I feel like reflectors are probably the opposite of waiting. If we're like really living in our design, we should always just be putting ourselves in environments. And then when we need the rest and recalibration, is like, you know, then we have our rest and recalibration, but you're not waiting then, you're resting and recalibrating.
Yeah.
But that's my biggest lesson. I mean, this is all very easily said and done. But
I know there are times that I'm like you, we like to be at home. It's just like, oh, I don't want to go out.
Yeah, and why isn't this thing happening? Or blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And I love what you were just saying there before. It's like you reflected back to me. It's just like, I feel that sometimes, that frustration where I'm like, I know this, I know I have to do this, but I don't want to. And it's like, well, instead of kind of looking at like that, reframe it, flip the switch and just be like, today I'm just going to do something I enjoy and allow whatever is supposed to flow through me to flow through me.
Yeah.
So where's Conscious City Guide going to go? What do you got planned? It's not here in Australia, is it yet?
We did focus on Sydney and Melbourne in Australia when we started. And then we like came back just to focus on US cities during the pandemic and online, actually. So we do have community in Sydney and Melbourne that promote their events on the platform. And of course, there's just so many online events that obviously doesn't matter where you are. But we definitely have big plans on, you know, growing out the platform and being the number one place to go to if you are curious about conscious lifestyle. So that's what I love about it, is people start to start their conscious journey through so many different entry points. It could be through something with their health, or it could be because they're interested in meditation or growing their own vegetables. Like, there's just so many entry points. So that's why I love that Conscious City Guide is community powered and reflecting back the community, because it gives that plethora of experiences. And then the conscious journey is like, oh, well, Joe might have come through because he wanted to start an organic gardening class and learn how to grow his own vegetables. And then from there, he went to a farm to table dinner experience. And at that experience, there was a sound bath. And then, you know, it's just this ongoing journey. And so we're building that out to be able to support people in that journey in major cities around the world and retreat destinations, because retreats are huge on the platform too.
Yeah. Oh, sounds incredible. We have to get this into Brisbane. I'll have to start mentioning a few more things, and we do a few events down here.
I would love it. I mean, and also Byron is so close, and big community there.
Yeah, definitely. One that's very conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Mel, thank you so much for taking this time with me today. Is there anything else you'd like to share with your beautiful sisters and brothers around the world?
Thank you for doing what you do and having this podcast. I love it. When I found you, I was like, oh my God, because there aren't that many other reflectors that I know. And I think it's good to share our experiences with each other and help each other on the journey. So thank you.
You're welcome. What a gift you are. Thank you again for being here, and I'm looking forward to seeing this increased expansion of what you've created, and more things I know are coming. You can just feel it bubbling under there.
Yay. Thanks.